Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, May 18th, 2015, and on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the status of women in our society, women in the Muslim world. Why do I spend so much time on Islam? Well, because it is, in my view, the biggest story in the world right now. Why is the status of women in Islam important to us today? Well, I hope you'll be able to see that after we finish this podcast today. For one thing, about 50% of us are women, and Islam is a rapidly growing religion, even here in America. A few years ago, my wife and I were in Boston on one of those hot, muggy summer days that you run into in the big cities of America. In fact, we were there for the 4th of July celebration, the Boston Pops, and so forth. We stayed at the Marriott Hotel in Back Bay, which has a mall attached to it, and that mall is a Neiman Marcus. In case you don't know, Neiman Marcus is a very expensive department store, very exclusive clientele, I guess you could say. While walking through that Neiman Marcus one day, we saw two limousines pull up outside, several Middle Eastern men in Bermuda shorts got out of the limousines and opened the doors for the women, who were all in burqas on this mid-90-degree, hot, muggy day. I remember feeling sad for the women having to wear the black burqas on such a hot day when the men were in shorts, but they all came inside and the men stood off to the side, stood guard for them while they shopped in the lingerie section. That scene caused me to develop an interest in Islam and what it subjects women to such status interested me. Why would they do that? It still does interest me. Why would they enter such a culture voluntarily with the events of today constantly in the news? Encounters with Islam are often interesting. A few days ago, I was in a Starbucks here in my city of Memphis, Tennessee. It was one near the University of Memphis campus where a lot of students hang out. There was a young woman there at a table, college-age woman, in Muslim dress with only her face exposed. She was reading or studying the Quran and other Muslim literature. She appeared to be an American. So I wondered, what would make such a young woman do that? What would make her convert to a religion where she is required to maintain at the most second-class status? And in many parts of the world, she would be the status of chattel property. What do I mean by that? Well, in Islam, husbands are permitted, even required, to beat their wives. The wives' intellectual ability is proclaimed to be inferior. Their prospects for the Islamic version of heaven, extremely suspect and limited. They are subject to rape, which is acceptable for captives, and subject to female genital mutilation. So what would lead this woman into such a religion? Some man, perhaps. True love? Or just love of a green card? Who knows? But I felt sad for her because it was a sad scene to me. There might be some women out there right now considering such a move. If so, please consider some facts before you do it. The Quran allows or commands men to beat their wives into subservience. Surah 434, quote, "Men have authority over women because God has made the one superior to the other and because they spend their wealth to maintain them. Good women are obedient. They guard their unseen parts because God has guarded them. As for those from whom you fear disobedience, admonish them and forsake them in beds apart and beat them," end quote. In addition to the Quran, the Muslim faith honors the traditions and acts of Muhammad as set out in the Hadith. The Hadith consists of many books assembled by clerics such as Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, a couple of centuries after Muhammad's death. The Hadith contains many traditions of Islam related from Muhammad. Muslim 142, Bukhari 26, 58, "Women lack common sense because their minds are deficient." Bukhari 10:52, "Hell is mostly inhabited by women because of their ungratefulness." Muslim 33:10, Bukhari 51:58, child brides are permitted. Muhammad's bride, Aisha, reported she was 6 years old when married and 9 years old when she had intercourse with the Prophet. I could go on and on with references to the second-class status of women in Islam, but from the modern world, we see that Islam adds up to chaos, to suicide bombings, to strapping bombs to children, to beheadings, to mass execution, to declarations of slaughter of whole countries. This is the culture of Islam today, and the culture that women would be entering if they chose to do so. If that were all, it would be plenty, folks, but it gets worse. A report from the UK Guardian tells us that in Egypt, 92% of married women have suffered female genital mutilation. These figures relate to women aged 15 to 49 and is even higher in remote areas. Egypt's Minister of Health, Adel Adawi, said most females undergo the procedure between the ages of 9 and 12. Less than a third of the operations are carried out by doctors, according to the minister. Egypt criminalized this practice in 2008, but it obviously remains widespread. This barbaric practice is the deliberate removal of all or part of the female genitalia. Can you imagine such a thing, folks? Well, it is part of Islam. Female genital mutilation is carried out on young girls in adolescence, but also during childhood and sometimes on babies, the minister said. Some see it as a rite of passage and a requirement of marriage. How do you see it if you're an American woman? Well, folks, that's about enough, don't you think? For any young woman out there thinking of joining this culture, don't do it. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.